This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا صدق الله العظيم. So yes, we were busy exploring verse 22 of this riveting chapter of the Quran, and we concluded on the debate of the precise number of the occupants of the cave and the back and forth opinions that were suggested by the different groups. And we concluded that the evidence supports the proof that they were seven in number, with the dog being eight. I shared with you two proofs. Number one, that Allah refuted the first two opinions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not comment on the third opinion. Then I gave you from a grammar perspective that waw atifa was included in the third opinion, which also supports the proof that, you know what, they were seven in number and the eighth being the dog. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ma ya'lamuhum illa qaleel. That of course Allah knows, and only few people know. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, Ana minal qaleel, I am from amongst that few. Can you, my brother and sister, process the richness of that accolade? Can you absorb and digest and register how profound an accolade that is? Allah said, only few. You talk of one in the country, one in the continent, four in the world, one of its kind, one of its type. Well, I'm out of the 100, I'm out of the 500, I'm out of whatever you want to say. Ana min al-qaleel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says only few know it. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, I am from amongst that qaleel. And I am telling you that they were seven, and with the dog it was eight. And yet there's another argument given supporting this, and this is also just so beautiful. So we just rewind slightly. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived them, and they were, Allah awoken them from their sleep and their slumber, look at the deduction. I hope you can appreciate this. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. One from amongst them said, how long did you rest? And I told you that many say his name was Muksalmina. So Qala said, Qailun, you know, to say, to speak, to utter. One from amongst them said, come, how long? Labithum, you slept and you rested. Then a response came by Qalu, Labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm. Qalu, they said, Labithna, we rested, we slept. For yawman, a day, or ba'da yawm, or a portion of a day. Now, qalu in Arabic, as you would know, is a jama', is a plural. And the aqal, the minimum for plural, is three. So it's singular, it's dual, and then plural. And then you have jama' qillat, jama' kathrat, but basic, simple. Plural would mean three or more. So we already spoke of, we've addressed four people here. One asking, How long did we sleep? How long did we rest? And then the Quran said, a group from amongst them said, Labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm, half a day or one day. So that makes it four. While another group responded by saying, Rabbukum a'lamu bima labithtum. You know what? Allah knows best how long you slept. And in the third discussion is also the adoption of a plural. So the minimum plural is three. So that leaves you with two groups of minimum plural of three each, which makes it six. And the first person who initiated the discussion asking it was singular. That makes it seven. I hope you know what I am saying, and I hope you can appreciate, you know, how the scholars delve into these things and how they pick it up, and you know, the uniqueness of these deductions from Quran. So the overwhelming view is that yes, they were seven in number, and with the dog that was eight. But going forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not debate with them regarding this, except outwardly, apparently, superficially. Don't go into a detailed, intense, heated debate with them. Just convey the message and move on. Fala, do not tumari, debate, dispute, argue with them, illa, but mira'an dhahira, a common, an average, a general, a basic discussion. Listen, you asked me for this year, I've conveyed it to you and I've told it to you. Now, no. You know, you have some people that you convey a story, and then now they want to go into the most fine details, and they want to argue, and they want to counter-argue, and they want to go into very, very intricate and complex issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the proof of Qiyamah, and they had made this the proof of your prophethood. Otherwise, there were too many proofs of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not pending on him explaining the mystery of these people. Every day these people observed and witnessed the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character itself, and that's the argument that we give, that what is the logical proof that this is a prophet? So the divine proof is the miracles that he performs, right? That's the divine proof, that he does things that, you know what, are supernatural, which the regular human average person cannot do. And that is why every prophet is given a miracle, or prophets are given, not as the object of prophethood, but as the proof of prophethood, because people want to know, convince us you're a prophet. But what is the logical proof? The logical proof is the life he lived, the character he displayed, the generosity he displayed, the selfless person he was. No one can do that. No one can do that. And there are so many examples in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do not stagnate with them. Do not get into this debate and detail and argument and intricacies. Move on. Fala tumari, fala, hence do not argue with them, illa but mira'an dhahira, a common, basic, average, simple, superficial, outward discussion and debate. Wala tastafti fihim minhum ahada, and do not even ask anyone about them. In other words, don't try and ask them, because they claiming they have knowledge from the divine scriptures, so they can share different views and opinions and research. Don't ask them. Wala, do not tastafti, ask them. Fihim minhum ahada. Don't ask any one of them regarding the seven sleepers any information. You convey the message to them and move on. And I think we can also, take this cue and this lesson, that we've got to convey the message of deen and move on. We don't want to get into arguments and debates and discussions, because it's not always productive. It's not always productive to entertain every question. Was it not Walid who came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he said, إن كنت إنما تريد بما جئت من هذا الأمر مالا جمعنا لك من أموالنا مالا جمعنا لك من أموالنا حتى تكون أغنى قريش مالا وإن كنت تريد به ملكا ملكناك وإن كنت تريد به شرفا سودناك وإن كان إنما بك الباء فاختر أي نساء قريش شئت فلنزوجك عشرا. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that if you want wealth through your mission, we will give you money. And if you want leadership, we'll make you our leader. حتى لا نقطع أمرا دونك. We will consult with you. And if you seek in power, we will nominate you. And if you want, woman, we will line up the most beautiful woman. And then you can choose whomsoever you wish. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أفرغت يا أبا الوليد؟ أفرغت يا أبا الوليد؟ Oh, Abu al-Walid, are you done with what you needed to say? I really don't want to respond to anything. Are you done with what you wanted to say? And he said, yes. He said, okay, I afforded you a urine. Can you afford me a urine? And then the Prophet ﷺ conveyed his message. Likewise, when they came and they asked the Messenger ﷺ, are you better or is your father better? Are you better or is your grandfather Abdul Muttalib better? And the Messenger ﷺ did not reply to any of this here. He said, are you done? He said, yes. He said, okay, now can I convey my message? And the Messenger ﷺ conveyed his message. And then, of course, he recited, Hamim tanzeelum min ar-Rahmanir Rahim, kitabun fussilat ayatuhu Qur'anan arabiyya liqawmin ya'lamun bashiran wa nazira fa'a'radha aktharuhum fahum la yasma'un. And he recited a lengthy portion of the surah in the 24 juz of the Qur'an. Dhimad. He was a doctor, he was a medical practitioner, he was a physician of the time. And he came into Makkah Mukarramah, and then people told him that na'udhu billah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentally impaired. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, I've been hearing comments from the greater people here in Makkah that wal'iyadhu billah, you are not mentally stable. And I've treated so many people, can I treat you? Nabi sallam did not entertain, did not counter, did not respond, did not say anything. And he kept on saying, I can treat the best of people and I will treat you. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam just said, you've said what you wanted to, can I say what I want to? And that's the point I'm saying here. Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, convey the message. Now don't get into a debate and a discussion and the details and the intricacies and the finer research and no. Convey, focus on the point. The point is that Qiyamah is a reality. Prepare for Qiyamah. You're losing the point. You can study science and you can do all your research, but in through that, if you do not find your creator and you do not recognize that divine power, then what have you achieved? What have you attained? You've lost the plot, my brother. You've lost it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dhimad, can I say what I want to say? He said, yeah, you can say. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alhamdulillahi ahmaduhu wa astaeenuhu wa astaghfiru man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya la. For you and I, it's a regular Arabic sermon, khutbah. Well, I've heard it. Okay, basic Arabic. What's there to it? Ask those who were Arabs, who understood it. He said, A'id alayya hadhihi al-kalimat. Repeat these words, فَقَدْ بَلَغْنَ قَامُوسَ الْبَحْرِ. This is the height of profound speech. This is the height of this is profound. This is amazing. And then he said, هَلُمَّ يَدَكْ أُبَايِعْكَ. Give me your hand, I want to embrace your faith. And he took the shahada. ثُمَّ أَتَى ضِمَادٌ وَهُوَ الْأَزْدِ مَا هُوَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدْ خَطَبْ أَسْلَمَ لِلْوَقْتِ وَذَهَبْ. The poet said, then came Dhimad from the Azdi tribe. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam barely gave a sermon. He was impressed. It penetrated his heart. He took the shahada and he left. So convey the message. Don't get into detail, unnecessary discussion and debate. And that kind of wraps up verse number 22. We move on to verse 23. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَٰلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. In this verse, there is a independent advice and what we refer to as نَهْيُ تَأْدِيبٍ. نَهْيُ تَأْدِيبٍ. So نَهْيٌ means a prohibition. تَأْدِيب means a تَرْبِيَة. تَرْبِيَة means a nurturing. A prohibition pertaining to the nurturing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you recall, my brother, and if you register, my sister, in episode number 1, when we did the introductory comments of this particular chapter, and we put perspective to the backdrop which prompted the revelation, then it was the mushrikeen who had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 questions, which they had heard from their counterparts, and they wanted clarity on it. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come to me tomorrow and I will provide you with the answer. However, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam slipped up to utter the word insha'Allah. And remember, a prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human. He's not exempt from human emotions. So a Nabi feels hungry, a Nabi feels sad, a Nabi can forget. It's common because he's a human. He's a human. And that's the beauty that Allah has made him a human, so that we get direction even in the human, in the human situations, in those natural human dispositions. There's sadness, there's happiness, there's anger, there's excitement. We can find direction from the life of a Nabi even in those human emotions. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, come to me tomorrow and I will tell you. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say inshallah. And revelation was paused, according to the more authentic and overwhelming view, for 15 days. So the pause was to put it on hold, and then the entire revelation came down, and in that the importance of inshallah was impressed upon our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The interval was exploited by the infidels to say, well, we told you that if you can answer three questions, you're a prophet. You are unable to answer it. So this is now proof that you're not a prophet. Wal-iyadu billah, wal-iyadu billah. Because day one, they came back and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come back, I'll give you the reply. And Nabi alayhi sallam did not have the answer. Day two, day three, day four, and so on and so forth. And it continued up till 15 days, up till 15 days. And then the chapter was revealed in its entirety according to the narration of Daylami on the strength of Anas ibn Malik. Nazalat suratul kahfi jumlatan ma'aha sab'una alfa malak. That it came down at one instance escorted by 70,000 malaika. So in this ayat, Nabi alayhi salam was reminded of verbatim translation, wala taqulanna, and I told you this is nahyu ta'deebin, out of love and tarbiyah. Just like when the fish swallowed Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, this was ta'deeb, this was not ta'deeb, this was not persecution, this was not infliction, this was nurturing, this was impressing, this was teaching, this was tarbiyah. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the tarbiyah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches a Nabi. In the 27 juz in Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى. And we know that this ayah, according to the authentic tafsir, refers to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. That allamahu dhu mirra, the person, the being with great might and strength, taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know the might and the strength of Jibreel alayhi salam. And then in the next chapter in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah said, Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an. That Allah himself taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in Tafsir Uthmani it is written that in the previous chapter in Surah An-Najm, where Allah referred the teaching process to Jibreel, was just to show that Jibreel was no more than a medium. He was a medium. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, who taught through the pen. So Allah is the muallim, and the qalam, the pen, it shows the greatness of the pen. The pen is a means. Jibreel was a means. Otherwise, Ar-Rahman, Allah himself taught. And hence, at every juncture and in every stage of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the guidance, the direction, and the counsel to his messenger and to all the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not say وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ for anything. إِنِّي verily I فَاعِلٌ will do ذَلِكَ that غَدًا tomorrow. And here the scholars say tomorrow doesn't mean tomorrow per se literally, but anything that I'm going to do in the future, don't ever say I will do this tomorrow or I will do this in an hour. إِلَّا but أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, that you pay it up with the mashiyat and the intention of Allah. If Allah wills it, if Allah wills it, then I will do it. So this was a message given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, these were the chosen, selected servants of Allah. I heard this from one of my teachers. May Allah preserve him with goodness. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. That you and I do not say inshallah every day. We slip up or deliberately or inadvertently or negligently or carelessly, and Allah does not deprive us of anything. Allah does not deprive us of anything. Tomorrow I'll meet you at 8 o'clock. Allah can block us, bar us, deny us, don't allow us to get up from our sleep. Allah, out of His grace and kindness, overlooks this on our part. Of course, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the noblest of his creation. Hence, his nurturing was at the highest level. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ And we removed from you the burden الَّذِي which أَنْقَذَ broke ظَهْرَكَ your back. And one of the explorations of this tafsir is that often the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform a virtuous action and it would be absolutely correct, but subsequently he would discover that there was something similar to it, a sister action which was greater in merit and virtue, and this would bring so much sadness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I performed that, but if I knew that the particular thing was of greater reward, I would have done that. And this subsequent discovery would bring sadness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ We've removed from you the burden, الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ For us, as long as we did what was right and it's acceptable, it's fine. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on another level altogether. So let's take this message seriously, my brother, to myself, to my spouse, to my children, in our home, in our environment, insha'Allah, masha'Allah, bi'idhnillah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. A believer's tongue needs to be moist with these utterances. We'll meet tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We'll meet next week, Allah willing. Absolutely, this Ramadan, Allah willing, Allah willing. Wa la taqulanna, and do not say, li shay'in to anything, inni verily I, fa'ilun will do it, dhalika that, ghadan, tomorrow or the future, illa an yasha'Allah. Unless you add to it, insha'Allah. That's one. Moving forward, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ And remember your Lord when you forget. In other words, if humanly you forget to say insha'Allah, then subsequently when you register, say insha'Allah. So if you've committed to someone, yeah, no, it's fine, tomorrow, that's good, yeah, we'll do it. Hey, forgive me, man, insha'Allah. That's quite arrogant on me. How did I say this here? I'm talking about in our interactions. You know, sometimes you just, absolutely, yeah, I can do this. I'll sort it out now. Yeah, one phone call and I will mobilize the whole thing. You give me a week and I'll have the shipment here. Like I'm in control. Like I'm in control. Wait, hang on. Forgive me. I know what, I was talking so proudly and arrogantly. You know what, like it's just the press of a button or it just can hop on the flight. Like, you know what, everything will go fine. If Allah allows it, Allah willing, with the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ وَذْكُرْ and mention رَبَّكْ your Lord, إِذَا when نَسِيتْ you forget. If perchance you slipped up to say insha'Allah, that as soon as you recall and register, then say insha'Allah. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا And say to them, وَقُلْ say عَسَىٰ I hope that my Lord will guide me to that which leads closer to it. I hope that my Lord will guide me. I hope that my Lord, Asa, I hope, and Yahdiyani, my Lord will guide me, Rabbi, my Lord, li akraba, closer, min hadha, than this. Guide, Rashada has been included in the word guide. What does this mean? That today you have made the proof and the veracity of my prophethood, the narrative of the people of the cave. And then with the pause of revelation, you were mocking and scoffing and rejoicing. But alhamdulillah, revelation came and I have given a detailed account of the concerns you've made. Not to say that now they accepted Islam. Not to say that they accepted Islam. However, I am optimistic. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that my Allah will manifest at my hands and on my tongue more revelation and more miracles which will be more compelling and convincing on my prophethood than the narrative of the people of the cave. That's what it means. So today you make this the basis, but I'm optimistic. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Asa Rabbi, I am hopeful that my Lord will guide me li aqrab, closer to this. And yes indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the time and beyond that point, through the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and through other narratives of the Quran, conveyed much more clearer, not to say that this wasn't clear, but just to prove that beyond that there were many more miracles. And I think I gave this example before, is like a son asks for something, and because he's very passionate about that, and the father buys him the phone, and he's like, oh, dad, you know what? You are the dad, man. You the man. You are my father. Oh, this is an awesome dad. Well, hang on, my son. By the way, I've been paying your fees for tertiary as well. And if you need to know, then you know what? Your monthly fees is more than this phone in its entirety. So I've been paying a lot all along, but it's just that you took that for granted and you didn't realize that, yeah? And suddenly, you know what? You had this pressing need for a phone. And because I delivered, so you're making that the basis of my selfless nature and the loyalty of me being a father. And well, in a way, whatever. I'm just giving an analogy and an example. But look into your life. I have done 1,000 things greater for you than the simple phone that I have bought for you, and so on and so forth. So today I have conveyed to you the tale of the people of the cave. But I'm optimistic that my Lord will continue to prove to you miriculous and signs of my prophethood. And that kind of concludes verse 24. We move on to verse 25. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا 9. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the duration. So we spoke about the number, how long. We spoke about how their bodies were and how an onlooker would think. Now, how long did they sleep? وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ. And they remained in their caves for 300 years and add another 9 to it. So that's the expression of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say 309. Allah said, were and labithu, they remain, fi kahfihim, in their cave, 300 sinin, years, wazdadu, and they added, izdadu, and they added tis'a, another 9. And the scholars say the unique adoption of this expression was to combine the lunar and the Gregorian calculation. Wow. The lunar and the solar calculation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopted such an all-embracing expression. Allah said, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ. And that's the beauty of the Quran. They remained in their cave, 300 wazdadu, and they increased 9 years. Now, if you know and understand, then on 33 years, by the solar count, by your date of birth, English speaking, then you would be 34 by the lunar count, Islamically, if you were doing the calculation. So if a person is 33 years old, then Islamically, he will be 34. And if a person is 68, then 66, then Islamically, it would be 2 more years, and that will be 68. So on a century by the Gregorian solar count, it would be 103 by lunar count. On a century, 100 years, Islamically, you would be 103. And if it is 2 centuries, then it will be 206. And if it is 3 centuries, it will be 309. So look at the amazing, again, this you needed basic Arabic. Allah said 300 and they added a 9, which gave off both the calculations simultaneously, depending how you choose to count. If you count in by the Gregorian and the solar, then labithu fi kahfihim 300. They remain in their cave for 300 years. And if you opt in for the Islamic calculation, wazdadu tis'a, then add on another 9. This is the divine speech of the Almighty. Our takeaway lesson from today is the importance of the utterance of insha'Allah. A believer in everything, The famous hadith of Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam retired to bed with his multiple spouses, and he said, I will share the bed and consummate with every spouse, and every one of them will conceive, and a warrior will be born. And he slipped up to say, Insha'Allah, and none of his 100 spouses conceived on that night, other than one woman, and that child was also, you know what, malformed, and that child had passed away. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if Sulaiman alayhi salam said inshaAllah, then all his spouses would have conceived and a warrior would have been born. So let us become conscious of the utterance of inshaAllah in every statement and utterance of ours. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.